Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, for there is a little girl on her way to the emergency room to see why she can't walk and why her stomach hurts. So Lord, we ask that you be with MJ in the cell box as they go to that situation, and that your hand be in there, that you bring peace to the family, and that you bring healing to her. Lord, we ask that you be with Brenda Lee as she is at home struggling. Give her strength in you. May she know your peace and your love, Lord God. And while I don't know much of the details, Lord God, we just ask that she know that you're present in her. Lord, we just lift these up in prayer. Lord, we know that there's many people even sitting here today whose hearts have pain, who suffer from anxiety or from sadness, from a sense of hopelessness. Lord God, we just ask that you reach out and touch each and every one of them. For those who aren't here, Lord God, give them safety. If they're not here just because they don't feel like they're connected or because they don't know what to do or how to reach out to you, Lord God, just break down those barriers. Don't let Satan win the day. So God, we just come before you and we lift this up in prayer. For we know that you are present. We know that your hand moves throughout us through your Holy Spirit. And we know that prayers are answered. And so, God, we come stand before you and confess our faith in you. For we know you are a good God who gives good things to those who believe. And so we ask for these prayers to be answered. Amen. We'll be in Psalm 5 to start out with, if you want to go ahead and turn to that. I can keep the pages from spinning on me here. Most of you know I like movies an awful lot, and I watch a lot, but I also read a fair amount in my spare time. And one of my favorite series is the Giver series. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's a Christian-themed book, but it talks about a culture. In the opening book, they made a movie out of it, and the movie wasn't received all that well. I enjoyed the movie a ton. I thought it spoke huge amounts of wisdom to where our culture is moving, but the whole premise of The Giver is as a society that they live in, and Jonas is the main character, the society they live in has no emotion. In fact, they drug themselves each morning. They walk up to a little machine, they put their wrist on it, it injects them, and it takes away their emotion to the point where they don't even see colors. And there's a scene inside the movie, and I encourage you, I was trying to find it, but because the movie wasn't overly popular, there wasn't anything on YouTube or anything I could pull from it. But there's a scene where they're sitting around a table, and Jonah says the words that he felt happy. And both his parents look at him with a stern face, and they say, "Accuracy of words, Jonas." Christian, I ask you, how many times is your prayer in that fashion? How often have you been emotionless in your prayer as you sit before God in your request? How often have you gone before the Lord, our Savior, the Creator of the heaven and earth, and just spoken words, or even hidden the true emotion that's behind it? Prayer is our direct contact with God. It's the way that we interact with Him. It's the way that we feel His presence inside of us. And as we sit and as we pray, we must be honest and truthful inside of it. I want you to stand as we read from Psalms 5, verses 1 through 3. It's short. There isn't a lot to it. But I want you to hear the passion that he speaks with. "Give ears to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." Go ahead and be seated. He continues on, he says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell within you." And he continues to go on and praise up God for who he is. The passion in his prayer has meaning behind it all alone. Our prayer life needs to be something more than what most of us have turned it into. Our society has pulled us away from having an emotional tie. That's going to be floating around all day. I'm sorry for that. If it distracts you, just focus over here. As we go through our prayer life, we must have emotion with it. If we don't, we're lying to God. See, prayer helps us set our mind in the right place. Every morning, that's why it starts out, I will pray to you in the morning. I will lift my voice to you in the morning. When you come to God in the morning, whether it's a quick prayer of, Lord God, please let your presence be felt today, or help me through the situations that I may face, or whatever it may be, it brings you into alignment with God that morning, into a place where you can understand, where you can start thinking as God may will you to think. Because you're introducing him into your day. You're inviting him to be part of it. But prayer shouldn't just simply do that in the morning. It shouldn't just simply align our mind. It should bring us calmness. Because when we bring the power of God into us, when we invite him to be part of our day in a real and truthful way, it should bring a calming sense into our soul. We should have a sense of, it's not just me in today's battle, but it's God also. And if God can create, then God can handle whatever I will encounter today. See, the psalmist here is reminding us that as we come before him and as we open our heart to him in the morning, we're asking him to listen to us. We're asking for him to be part of our day. Consider my meditation. See, this wasn't just something that was just given short out. It was a meditation. See, we've allowed the Eastern religions to kind of steal that away, but meditation is as much part of our tradition as it is of Buddhism or Hinduism or any of the others that are out there. And we've lost that. We don't spend time in thoughtful and dedicated prayer to God. A few weeks ago, I challenged you to pray for the first minute to 2 minutes, or as long as you could stretch it, just glorifying God for his greatness and for what he has done, not in the sense of what he has done for you in the contract side of things, but just what he has done in creation alone, and recognize him for his greatness, his holiness, his worthiness. And I hope you've been practicing that and seeing how difficult that is, because we move to the contract so much, but when we sit in meditation and we let God help us ruminate on the situation, it becomes so much more deep. It becomes so much more passionate, which is what we're going to talk about today. Because I will tell you right now that since I've been here and since I've worked with soldiers for the last 10 years and since I've just dealt with people as I've walked through and taught and discipled, the thing that we're afraid of the most is to let our true emotion come out in our prayer life, or our true emotion be the honest moment that we share with God. I don't know how many times I've had to counsel people that it's okay to be angry and pray to God with an angry heart some days. To sit there and say, I don't understand, or I'm upset with how things are going and I don't get it. Now, to dwell and stay in that feeling is not healthy, but to open it up to God and let him know how you truly feel is a healthy step to moving past it. See, when we pray, we should be praying with a true emotion of how we feel that day. If we're joyful, then let it be joyful. If we have great concern, then let our prayer mirror that concern. If we're in a heartbroken place, then let us be honest with God. Because he already knows. He knows what's truly in the depth of your heart. He knows where you sit. He knows what the emotion is that you're feeling, and he knows what you're thinking before you've even brought it up in words. And so as we sit there and we try to suppress our emotion, as we try to sit and hide how we feel about something, we're truly trying to lie to God. And we're putting another brick between us and him and that wall that Satan wants us to build between God. But when we're honest, when we're truthful, when we come before God and we open our hearts and the true emotion that we're feeling, then and only then are we truly in deep relationship with God. We're not hiding from him anymore. We're being truthful and honest. And I know it's hard. I know it's scary to do that because in our society, we've been told that you can't be like that with God. That you just have to be happy and that God is the bringer of all good things. But sometimes the best thing that God can bring us is a heartfelt cry, a shedding of tears or a screaming of anger and anguish, the true moment with the Father, to truly feel his presence in our life. If God is the bringer of all things, then he has brought our emotions to humanity. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We shouldn't sit there and be fearful of it. And Lord knows we shouldn't hide it from him. But we should be truthful inside of it. I always love it when I get blank sheets. Not quite sure what that's about. In Psalm 51, go ahead and turn to it. This is a psalm that David said after he had fallen into sin with Bathsheba. I want you to listen to this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me to your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. I want you to imagine being at your lowest point. David had just committed an ultimate sin, and Nathan has come forth and shown it to him. The hurt he had caused, a man's death for his sin. And to have your best friend walk up and tell you that you're wrong in this whole situation, that you're the reason that this man died, and you're the reason that the problems that you're suffering were under. I want you to feel that brokenness inside your heart. I want you to maybe relate to it at some point in your life when you can remember being broken. And David doesn't hide from it. He comes forth, and in this psalm we hear through the words he speaks and just the way he phrases the passion that he has in this moment. As he sings this psalm, as he opens his heart to God to ask for forgiveness. That is how all of our prayers should be. See, we lose that all too often when we look at Scripture, because what we do is we've cataloged it. We've tried to turn it into some encyclopedia that we just go and we find the answer. But the answer, more often than not, is in the relational aspect that we're reading about, the emotions and the relationship that is deeply embedded inside the words, more so than it is about the words and the truth and the wisdom that sits behind them. Because the wisdom comes in the relationship with Christ. I've spoken it many times that knowledge alone is a very dangerous and a very hurtful thing if we don't use caution with it. But when we come in and we read this and we take out and we just read it for the words that are there and not the emotion or the heart that's behind it, we lose so much of the message that's ingrained in it. So how is your prayer life? Is it full of emotion? Do you feel guilty when you sit before God and you cry because I'm not being strong enough, I should be more strong in my faith? Or that when you're giddy as you're all happy and joyful about something that's going on, feeling like, well, I shouldn't feel this much good. But the fact is God has given us our emotions so that we can be real with Him, that we can be in true relationship with Him. I want you to stop and think for a second right now. The deepest relationships that you share are the ones that you have the most emotional tie to. Think about those people right now, those people that you're the closest to, and why are they the people that you allow to be so close into your life? It's because you're emotionally tied to them. And then you sit there and you think that if you can hold back your emotion from God, that you're going to somehow engage in a deeper relationship with Him? It's a lie. If we don't come into it, if we aren't honest with who we are and how we're feeling about the situation, then how can we honestly sit there before Jesus Christ and confess that we're a believer, that we truly believe that He is our Lord and our Savior, if we're going to sit there and lie to Him about who we are? If we're going to be a church that lives a life of worship, lives a life in prayer, then we need to be honest in our prayer. We can't turn away and try to lie to Him and hide how we feel about a situation. We can't sit there and feel guilty about how we feel as we talk to Him. And I bring the lament up as a conversation or as a point of our sermon today because I think this is where we as Christians receive the most guilt when we go before God and we sit there and we lament. We're sad about how things aren't going the way we want to go. But the fact is there is a lot of pain and suffering in our world. In fact, our world, in the physical sense, is designed to cause that. Because in the flesh, if we do not get fed, we hunger and we have pain. If we are sick, we feel it. See, in the flesh, we feel all the negative results of what we experience day in and day out. But see, in the spirit, we can feel so much more. But only if we're honest and we allow God to heal us as we go through it. And I know some of you are still sitting there going, well, I can't do it, Pastor. Scott, I just can't be honest because God will be angry with how I feel about a situation. God would never listen to me if He didn't hear or if he heard just how I felt truly about the situation. But I want you to turn to Matthew 26. Starting in verse 36, it says, then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and I pray over there. So in other words, what he's doing is God is going to have a private moment with God. And he's moving himself away from his disciples. He's asked them to come with and to pray with him, to overwatch him, to make sure that he is okay. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And then he removes himself from those three, and he says, he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." We can be honoring to God in our prayer, even in the most horrific times, even in the most heart-crushing times. As Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, knowing full well the wrath of God that's going to fall upon him, that he may cover all of sin, the separation he's going to feel from the Father, which has been so strong, the love between them that has fueled him all this time. And here he understands what is about to happen to him, and what does he do? He falls to his knees in sorrow and begs the Father to take it from him. But in that moment, still willful to accept whatever God's will is. See, when we pray in that once, when we are honest with how we feel, God understands with what he's working with. There's no questions, and the thing is sometimes I think we like to convince ourselves during a really hard time. We come into it and we sit there and say, "Oh God, you're going to do this, and you're going to make this work happy, and you're going to feel this, and I'm going to be okay through it all." When it's a lie, because what we really want to do is we want to hit our knees and, "God, I can't do this anymore. How dare you pile this much more on top of me?" And in that moment, you truly understand where you stand. And instead of lying to God and yourself and feeling like it's all going to be okay, to just be what you are at that moment. This is what we see with Jesus. He understood what was coming, and he asked for it to pass. With great sorrow on his heart, he fell and he wept before, even to death, wanting to die. He didn't hide that from God. He told God exactly what he knew he was feeling. And the thing is when we're honest with ourselves, God can show us exactly what needs to happen in our lives, because we're not trying to walk a lie anymore. No, what we're doing is we're walking truthfully with him. And he'll understand that he needs to show us exactly what needs to happen. And our heart will be open to see what exactly needs to happen as we go forward, because we've already confessed that we don't know where to go from here, or that we don't have the strength, or that we don't have the courage to take it on, or that we don't have anything else that comes with it. See, fellow brothers and sisters, it's really easy to pray when we're in joy and when everything's going well. Praise God, I got the raise. Praise God, I got the promotion. Praise God, this is happening in my life. But when we come into hardship, when we come into the difficult times, when we hit our knees, when we have nothing left inside our tank, and we are at the point of wanting to die because it's gotten so tough, we tend to enter into contract. "God, if you just do this, I'll do whatever you ask. God, if you just get me through this, everything will be okay." And we try to buy into that lie, but we know it's not. And then we get mad at God for not doing what we asked him to do when it wasn't what was best in the first place, and it wasn't truthful in the first place. Instead, to sit there and say, "God, I'm empty and I have nothing left to give. I need you. Whatever your will, let it be." Remember, I talked about how in Psalm 5, when the psalmist read that, he would pray in the morning to right our minds and put us in alignment with God. That's what we're asking you to do here. I'm not telling you not to pray when you're in joy or in hope and happiness, and by all means, please do. What I'm asking you is to bring emotion back to your prayer. Quit trying to contract all the way through, or sit there and read the Or pray, what is it, the the bumper sticker prayer. Stop trying to always put on a front that with God all things are great, because some days they're really difficult. And sometimes God walks us through the fire to remove that brokenness from us, that we may see it for what it is, that we may recover and be healed from it for eternity versus just for a few moments. But I beg you to put emotion back into your life of Christ. I want you to think about your friendships and your marriage, that if you remove the emotion from them, would they be worth being in anymore? If you continued life as they did in the giver without emotion and only with knowledge and the bare basic facts, would there be any reason to live anymore? Would there be true joy? There couldn't be, because joy is an emotion that we all feel. And we all feel it differently for different reasons. Would there be happiness? Would there be love? No, there wouldn't, because those are all emotions. So why do we take it out of our prayer? Why do we vanilla our prayer? Why do we whitewash it so it doesn't look like how we feel? In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about faith and having faith. But our faith must be built on a knowledge that God is good and that he gives good things to those who believe in him. So I challenge you to open your heart when you pray. Because God already knows how you feel. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows exactly what you're going through. See, emotions make our life intense. They make our life worth living. The good emotions make it that much more exciting to be involved in. The emotion of love makes it that much more willing to live it. And sure, the emotions of pain and suffering make it that much more difficult to deal with too, but what happens is we feel shameful because we're having them, and that makes it that much worse. I don't know how many times people have told me just to move on or forget about something. But the facts of it is to relive that emotion, is to relive that moment with that person, to experience that chance of reliving the emotion you shared with them in their life or in your friendships that have been past and broken. So yes, emotion makes life intense, but it makes life intense in good and bad ways. But so I'm going to ask you to pray intensely. Pray with emotion. Have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't hide how you're feeling. Don't hide who you are, and don't hide what you're experiencing in that moment. Open up. As we see David, in the moment of his brokenness, he prays a heartfelt prayer with deep despair within it. But at the end, he comes out understanding that God is full of good, and that only in God and through God will he recover from it. Will he be redeemed? Will he be made anew? We talked about living a life of worship being based on living a life of being a living sacrifice before God, and your prayer life needs to mirror that. Your prayer life needs to be true worship. It needs to be honest and heartfelt. It needs to be true to who and what you're experiencing at that time. To do anything else just adds another brick between you and God. And so today we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes to pray on your own, to take a few minutes and have a heartfelt prayer in silence. If you have great joy in your life, then pray with great joy. If you're struggling through something, then let God know how you truly feel. I'm letting you release all the guilt, all the shame that comes with maybe telling God that you're upset with him at this particular moment. And I'm telling you to live life in a true and deep way, to feel his love as you pray. And in a couple minutes, I'll close us in prayer. So begin. Dear Heavenly Father, We come before you and we lay ourselves before you. Some with joy and hope upon our hearts, some with despair and sadness, some with anxiety, some with fear. But Lord, whatever emotion is on our heart, whatever is driving us this day, let us not live a lie before you. Let us be truthful and honest. Let our relationship be what it truly needs to be. For God, we come before your throne, for you are great and glorious beyond imagine. And we can come boldly before your throne and ask and make supplication because of the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of his love and his passion, we are washed and made anew. And so, God, we open our hearts to you. May we no longer pray a lie to you, but just be in the presence of you, to truthfully come before you, to no longer believe that we can hide ourselves from your eyes. And Lord, in that process, as we bare our hearts, create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew us in a right spirit. For God, you are full of good, and you give to those who believe in you good. And Lord, we just pray that you fill us with the good of your love, the good of your Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed, refreshed, and full of your love. Amen. As you go today, as you head out this week, pray with deep emotion. Live life intensely, because that's the only way it's worth living. We talk about living a life and living a life to thrive in. Live a life to thrive in. Make it worth your while. Quit lying to God and develop a real relationship with Him. Amen.